It's good to be with you once again. After being in Cullman, Alabama last week, I thought that Cullman was truly the North. It was cold up there. It really was, and I have a feeling it probably wasn't quite that cool down here in my absence. But I think all of us know today that spring has officially sprung, hasn't it? It's all sprung because one of the things we're doing is we're wiping the sleep out of our eyes because we lost an hour of sleep last night, and it's been reported down there in Bellagraph Garden that the azaleas are starting to bloom. Now, I'm sure it's going to be beautiful down there. Now, I know the calendar's not quite caught up with that, but down here living in the Gulf of America, it surely feels like spring has sprung. God's creation is awakening all around us. Now, you probably don't know me. Back when this picture was taken, I was at the tender age of 7. That is me on the extreme left. And boy, I was a cutie, wasn't I? I don't know what happened, but that was back in the days. That's my mother and father, Paul and Doris Sills, that's there. My oldest sister there on the extreme right, her name is Lynn. My older brother, Paul Jr., is there in the very background. And my little sister, Patty. That is my entire family. And so I thought I would introduce them to you this morning because the sermon has something to do especially with my mother. You see, it was this time of year that my mother got really squirrely. We started to notice that Mom was twitching and looking around, and we knew what was coming. We knew we were going to hear that pronouncement, "It's time for a spring cleaning." We knew that it was on the way, but the way in which my mother was acting, and being a 7-year-old boy at the time, that's not something that any little boy ever wants to hear, that it's time to spring clean your room. But it's an important thing that she would inform us, and it's an important thing for the house, and we did understand it, although we dreaded it. But at the same time, when you think about this in a literal fashion, I think it's appropriate for us to think about this in a spiritual fashion. I think this is a good idea. It's time for a spring cleaning spiritually. See, the winter is over and things are starting to awaken. And so I'd like to encourage you to allow your spiritual winter to be over and for you to find a time of refreshing. Now, in the Protestant movement today, they're involved in something that's known as Lent. Lent is nowhere to be found within the Bible. It's nothing that Jesus authorized. It's not a feast in which the first century church practiced. And as I say that, I do recognize that there is a principle there that's good. It's a principle of it's time for a spiritual refreshing. So whether it's spring, summer, winter, or fall, I think that's always in vogue, having a spiritual refreshing. And so this is a really good time for us to consider having a spiritual spring cleaning. And perchance, if you would like to do that this morning, I think the first thing that you're going to have to do is take a time to really evaluate yourself, have an honest investigation and self-examination. You know, that's something the Apostle Paul cried for to the Corinthians as he's finishing up the second letter that we have in inspired writ. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul just simply said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith." You've heard countless sermons on that. I preached a sermon now and again on that premise. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. In the first sermon this morning, I preached a lesson that was titled, "By Faith." And we looked at so many Old Testament examples of people that proved, that gave testimony, that had a witness that they were indeed faithful people. And you put yourself to this test, how well would you fare? Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. That's like a pizza moment, isn't it? Examine yourself, test yourself. It's saying the same thing. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And so if I ask you the question right now, my dear friend, is Jesus Christ in you, and you don't know the answer to that, you're in big trouble. You might be disqualified if you're a Christian. So consider the question that Paul poses to the Corinthians That same question is very, very good for us. Now, one of the things about keeping house, I'm not a professional housekeeper by any stretch, but I do understand that you can make your place look pretty good if you go in and have visitors come in. Visitors come in, they sit down, and things look appropriate. But, you know, suddenly you're kind of nervous about them because you don't want them to go in that room. So you see them approaching. Now, don't go in there, you might say. Don't look inside that room. Don't look inside of that closet. Whatever you do, don't go in those places. You don't want them to see what's in that room. You don't want them to see what's going on in that closet. Well, a spring cleaning, you know what it does? It opens up rooms and it opens up closets in a spiritual fashion. We need to be willing to take a deep look in there. In 2 Corinthians, earlier in this same letter, in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so I ask you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you put on Christ in baptism, maybe some time ago. Let me ask you the question, are you still new? Are you still a new creation? Are all the old things gone? Or are there rooms that I'm not to look into? Are there closets that you haven't kept up very well that you recognize that they do need a spiritual spring cleaning? Well, it's spring! Spring has sprung! And so let's use this concept by understanding the point. To the Galatians, the Apostle Paul wrote this. In Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 26, he said, but you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Brothers and sisters, you all know that we have been baptized into Christ, that our lives have changed, and some of our lives have changed dramatically. Have you reverted? Have you gone back into the old ways? Do you not still recognize that Christ had cleansed you by the power of His blood and that He's placed us into the very family of God? And He wants us to have clean closets, and He wants us to have clean rooms. He wants us to be new creatures. He wants us to be children of Abraham, and therefore His sons and daughters. That's what He wants. He wants an inheritance for us. And so it demands examination. You're saying, what kind of examination? Well, this is a passage that's quite famous from the Apostle Paul in the Romans in the 12th chapter in verses 1 and 2. Where the Apostle Paul basically is begging them. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your bodies holy. You present your bodies acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service. This is your logical way in which you show veneration and worship unto God. That you are the sacrifice. That you are someone, as verse 2 says, no longer conformed to this world, but transformed. You're a transformed individual by the renewing of your mind. That means the renewing of your heart. That means renewing of your soul. Being a cleansed person by the blood of Jesus, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the calling, my mother would have been calling. She would be saying, son, it's time for a spring cleaning. I can tell. I go into your room and it truly needs a spring cleaning. What if Jesus was to come to you right now and look into your heart? We say, man, it's truly time for a spring cleaning in there. These are words that we need to be hearing. This is a truth that maybe hits home a lot closer than we realize. How are we doing? So if I've convinced you that it's time for a spring cleaning and you're honestly examining yourself, if you're testing yourself, are you disqualified at this very moment? I hope and pray that you're not. But if you recognize, yeah, there's closets that are bad, there's rooms and doors that have to be kept shut, the next point that I want you to recognize is that it's time to start tossing out the trash. Boy, that picture, it just sums it all up for me. Because I know as a little boy that my mom was going to be all over me as she would send us each to our own rooms and we would have to start tossing out the trash. It always started for me in my closet. I can recall that mom would take me back there and she'd show me that all this stuff has got to be done and I just started hauling stuff out of my closet. Now, of course, I'm a pre-adolescent boy, or as an adolescent boy, my mom continued to do this as long as I lived there. Every spring, I knew I'm going to have to clean the garbage out of my closet. And so there would be times that I would stack a pile. Now, to me, it seemed like the pile that was coming out of my closet was probably not nearly as big as a felt. But I can recall that there were times that it's like, man, that I have all that stuff in my closet. I think especially the older that I got, it's like, oh, that's where that sock went. I always wondered where the sock went. It was in my closet. It wasn't in mom's dryer. It was in my closet somewhere. And so you probably have the same idea. If you went to your house and I asked you to start digging the stuff out of that place, you probably have that place, don't you? It's like, yeah, there might be a sock in there, Ken. There might be one of those. Or something else might be hidden in there that you know doesn't belong in there. It was full of stuff. And so I can relate to that picture. I don't know if you can relate to that picture, but I can really relate to that picture. Well, spiritually, can you relate to that picture? Well, spiritually, in a sense, I can relate to this type of picture. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. When I came to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I took that very personally because I had a lot of trash in my spiritual closet. You see, I had been raised up in a denominational church. I'd been brought up in Romanism or the Roman Catholic Church, where there was a host of traditions that are man-made through the Vatican or through a variety of catechisms that I had learned in school or I had heard at the church building that I had made a part of my religious fabric. And so when it came to the idea of being in Christ Jesus, I needed to take verse 8 to heart because I knew that I had been cheated through the Roman Catholic philosophies and catechisms and traditions that were not according to Christ, but were according to a faith that was not true. And it's not just Catholicism. You think about Protestantism. You think about the denominations out there with all of their man-made creeds, their man-made traditions, their man-made rules, their Southern Baptist Convention, their United Methodist Discipline, their Watchtower publications, and you could just go on and on with all the different things that have been introduced into religion that people find as truth. Not to mention another testament of Jesus, a Book of Mormon, or the various different God men out there that say that they're still prophesying, receiving inspired words of God that have nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. And I think about these things as well religiously, especially in our day. One of the things that I found that's happened here, and I think it's happening in a lot of churches of Christ, that as liberalism continues to be the mantra that's found within many churches of Christ, that some of them are coming over and saying, Ken, that Church of Christ that I was brought up in, that I was a part of, that, man, they've just got too liberal for my likings. Well, my dear friend, if you've come from a congregation that's teaching falsehoods, that's teaching maybe the falsehood of the one cup issue, or just you could be married to anybody you want to, or the variety of mutual edifications that says there's no such thing as a located preacher, or there's no such thing as a Bible class, or the various institutional practices that are abounding today in a variety of churches of Christ all over the place, you've got to give that stuff up too. That's in your closet, and it needs to come out. If it's not in the New Testament Scriptures, it should not be a part of your religious practice. You need to give those things up. You need to see them for what they are. You need to see them for like being trash in your closet. And they need to exit stage right. The Lord is trying to teach us something that we've been rooted and grounded in truth. And that is our standard for religion. And so you need to identify those things. And they need to be carried out of your closet. They need to be outside from the hidden door and no longer a part of your religious philosophy. But it's not just the philosophies, the religious traditions that men excoriate. It's about us personally as well. And I think we focus on these things a lot, maybe more so than the last one that I just talked about. As you read there in the same Colossian letter in the next chapter, people have asked me, Ken, what's one of the most important chapters of the whole Bible to read? I think Colossians chapter 3 has to be in the top 10. I really do. As you think about those that are raised with Christ Jesus, as a result of that, he said in verse 5, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, premarital sex, shacking up type of sex, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. That's idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. How many of you have lived in any of these things? You don't have to raise your hand. I know, it's embarrassing. But these things are just as relevant today in 2025 as it was in actual 25 A.D. As you keep reading in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Since you put off the old man and his deeds, you see that trash coming out of that closet? You've just put that stuff off. That stuff needs to be taken out of your closet. All of those sinful, personal things that people do, we need to get rid of that. We put on the new man in Christ Jesus. And like a 1-2 punch, listen to what Paul said to Timothy about perilous times were coming. Well, I suggest to you that perilous times were also in the first century. They're still coming. They're still here today. When men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Well, maybe that's us. You've heard me many times present the idea of that great old movie about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're really good at hiding Mr. Hyde, aren't we? That people don't see what's in our closets or behind the door. That we know that is there, that is full of corruption, that is really this person. And very often this person comes out. And I think the more that Mr. Hyde is portrayed, the harder it is to keep him hidden. Are you having a lot of trouble keeping Mr. Hyde hidden? Well, if that's the case, it's time for a spring cleaning. It really is, isn't it? It's time to recognize you can't be this way anymore and be pleasing unto God. Very often when we talk about this point, we go to this passage, and we should go to this passage. We should view this passage often. Our God was trying to tell the Galatians, as well as he's trying to tell us, that this is not the way Christians are. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 19, he talks about those that are doing the works of the flesh. Now remember from 1 John chapter 2 that those that are involving themselves in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of God. And others may not be able to see it, but you see it, you know it. If you'll look in your closet, you'll see it. Do you look in your closet and you find such things as adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Stuff like this. You find that in your closet. He said, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice things of this nature will not inherit the kingdom of God. That God is trying to tell us, you live like this, you shouldn't be expecting to go to heaven when you die. And you know, he's not saying, if you happen to have the exception of carrying your baptismal certificate up to heaven, no, that's not going to get the job done. If this is how you're living and this is what you're dying in, it doesn't matter whether you have become a Christian or not. You shouldn't expect to inherit the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. And so when you think about that boy, that heading at the top of this page sure does fit, doesn't it? If this is how you've been living, if this is really who you are, if you have a very strong Mr. Hyde within you, Dr. Jekyll, it's time to toss out the trash, isn't it? It really is. It's time to fill up that garbage can. Get it outside. And once you do that, now you are ready for point number two. You know, oftentimes when we clean up the rooms that are in pretty good shape. Oh, we'll kind of clean the kitchen up pretty good. We'll clean up the living room pretty good. And we'll make sure that all the other doors are closed. No, my dear friend, we're talking about all the doors not being open, all the closets being out there. And I think about my parents. I think about my mother, that once I finally got in there, she'd come sniffing around, how are you doing, get everything out of there. And once I did, she would show me, especially when I was young, I needed to take this wash rag. And I needed to go and I needed to clean the baseboards of the closet now. And I needed to take this broom and I needed to get all the cobwebs down that might have been in my closet. I needed to wipe down the shelf. You know, all of us back in the old day, we had this solid wood shelf that was above that, and we had to wipe that down because that was just nasty too, especially for a teenage boy. That got really nasty. And so you had to clean up the closets too. You had to get all the cobwebs out. You had to clean it up. Clean up the space that was so dirty. It just made a lot of sense. And it makes a lot of spiritual sense. As a matter of fact, Jesus kind of addresses this issue. I don't know if he was speaking directly to my mother. He might have been. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 43, the Son of God said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this wicked generation." Well, the point of this, Jesus was talking about demon possession, and so we're just going to let the principles rest with demon possession, something we struggle understanding. But there's an underlying principle there that's so true. When it came to me as a young man, I get out there and I clean the baseboards of the closet, right? I take the vacuum and I clean out because my father was a carpet layer, so my house had carpet all the way through. I had the coolest shag carpet, by the way. My mom and dad bought me red, white, and blue inch-long shag carpet. It was cool, man. You don't ever see red, white, and blue shag carpet anymore. But I had that, but it had to be vacuumed. And so here I am and making sure that I cleaned off the baseboards. I wiped everything down. Of course, the vacuum cleaner came in and cleaned up the carpets. I'm so thankful she didn't make me shampoo the carpet. I really am. But one of the things about that is that now it's nice and clean. It would have been really stupid for me to say, "Oh, there's plenty of room. Here's all my trash," and just throw it back in there, right? A teenage boy would do something like that, wouldn't he? Absolutely. I thought about that. Oh, man, I hate doing this. And just start tossing it back in there. Of course, Mama came in, and Mama said, "I don't want to see any of that brought back into that closet." And so, here's what you put in the closet. Take your shoes, put them over here. Take this, put it over there. Here's that special thing that you like. That goes over there. And it stays there, and it stays there, and it stays there. And those floors, they stay clear so that you can go in there with a path. Mama was telling me the right things to do. Don't put the trash back in there. We got to get this thing well ordered and arranged. That's what I want. I want this clean closet to now be well ordered and arranged. That's the principle that Jesus is telling us, that he expects us to take all the spiritual trash out of our life, but if we're not careful, we'll start thinking like a stupid little boy of 8 or 9 or 10 years old and start letting the trash come right back into our life. Don't let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come in there after you've done all this hard work. Don't revert back to that old way of living, because all that sacrifice would end up being null and void. What do we need to do? We need to do what Paul wanted the Christians in Philippi to do. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians the 4th chapter and in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, he could have just simply put in there, "Put these things in the closet." That's what he could have put there in relation to the lesson of today. This is what needs to be in our closet. And so if you're getting rid of all the trash, you've got to change your life. What do you need to be meditating on? Obviously, the thing that's first and foremost, we need to be reading this a whole lot more than we probably are. This needs to become a steady daily diet for us when we have cleaned up the trash in our lives. We need to be reading the Bible a lot, especially reading the covenant in which we are under, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Matthew through Revelation should become a steady diet in the life of a Christian. We should be really focused on that. But I don't think that's all there is. There's all kinds of things in life that kind of fulfill what verse 8 talks about. Things that are lovely, things that are good report, that type of thing. What type of other things are you reading? What other type of things are you viewing or are you watching? Like, what's on your computer screens? What's on your television screens? Saying, come on, Ken, get into the modern age. What's on your cell phone? Okay, there's the big one. What's on your cell phone on a consistent basis? It needs to be something that's going to be good and positive and helpful for you in a spiritual direction. Things that we talk about maybe are wholesome. I love that word. Things that are wholesome. You know, like occasionally, you know, you can take in one of those cheesy Hallmark romance movies. They're all wholesome movies, right? Or maybe more Andy Griffith. Chris, that one's for you, buddy. I'm good for things like that. You know, some of that old black and white Roy Rogers. Things that are good and wholesome for the heart and the mind. That's what God wants us to be meditating on with, of course, His Word at the top of the charts. Indeed. His Word at the top of our charts. We've just gone through this cleaning process. It's time to rebuild our spiritual house. And we rebuild it with things just like this. And if we rebuild it with things just like this, it should not surprise us that actually we're starting to transform. We've got rid of that terrible trash known as the works of the flesh. And in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Slow down and read those real slow. But add these things to your character. Those who are Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh. That means they've cleaned out their closets. They've cleaned out their dirty rooms with the trash that they have, with the passion and desires, and now they're living in the Spirit, and they're walking in the Spirit. They're exemplifying the Spirit. They're expressing these things in their character through their words and their deeds. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to make sure that as we clean out the old house, we're rebuilding the new one. I used the analogy a while ago of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, that you get rid of Mr. Hyde, you get rid of him, and you become a lot more like that kind and sweet and nice, wonderful doctor, Dr. Jekyll. That's what we need to be. We need to be more like our Savior every day. And we need to be building on that. You're saying, Ken, I'm doing fine. Well, good. I'm glad you are. Let's continue in that direction. Remember the Son of God. He places before us a challenge that almost appears unreachable. But it's not really unreachable. It's just going to take everything you have to get there. Remember there in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. If you don't see yourself now as the light of the world, there's a challenge placed before you, isn't there? There's a challenge. I've got to get there. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Your Christianity may not feel like you are a city that is set on a hill. We think about cities that are set on a hill. Usually they're great cities. They're cities that people want to migrate to. They're cities that attract people to them. Be that kind of person. And if you're not that kind of person, go through the spring cleaning. Rebuild the house so that you can start becoming in the likeness of that city that is set on a hill. Nor do they light a lamp and put it on a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Say, Ken, I got a little bit of light. Great. Let's make it more. Let's put some more oil to it. Let's put some more of those praiseworthy, meditative type of things that we talked about a few moments ago. Let's get some more light in there. Let's turn the wick up. Let's build ourselves up. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I don't feel much like doing good works. Well, as we change our character, you know what that encourages us to do? It encourages us to incorporate that in our daily walk of life. So as I'm becoming more loving, I'm becoming more kind, I'm becoming more patient, I'm becoming more like my Savior, I start reaching out to others with those images. And they begin to say, there's something going on with you. What's going on with you? Did you change your hair color? Well, naturally that's happening to me. I used to be thought of as somebody that was salt and pepper, and all my pepper's gone. I get after the girls that cut my hair and say, why are you cutting out all the black ones? Every time I come in here, all the black ones are gone. I think it's called age. Yeah, and that's what we do. We change as time goes on. Let's change for the better. Let's become people that are more light. They can see more light in us. They can see more good character within us. And they can hear good works coming from us. And they want to say, man, there's something going on in you. You know, I don't know if they'd be asking if you're taking vitamins or not, but you'd say, yes, sir, I'm taking vitamin J, Jesus. That's for sure. That's what I'm doing, and you need to do that as well. And that kind of brings me to the last place, because I've been talking about me. I should have put Sandra's family up here, because when spring cleaning time came at my house, at Sandra's house, it was all about the garden. It was all about... That's the way they grew up. Sandra's parents grew up in southern Kentucky, and they just could not wait to get their fingers in mud. They just couldn't wait to do it. And I can recall several times when I was up in South Bend that we'd have feet of snow on the ground. And Sandra's dad is down in the basement, and he's taking tomato seeds, and he's placing them in little cups. And he's got lights over top of them. He just wanted to grow tomatoes from the seeds. And the big day with them is when the vegetable magazines came in. When the veggie magazines came in, you better make sure that Sandra's dad had it first. I mean, that's it. And then I can recall the conversations sitting there. It's just freezing cold outside in South Bend, Indiana. And there, Sandra's mom and dad, well, we need to get this seed packet. Let's try growing some kushaws this year. They just couldn't wait for the garden. And so I guarantee you that at this time of year, there could possibly be snow on the ground, but if there's not much, Sandra's dad was out there with the rototiller. And by the time spring came up, about a third of the garden was already planted. He would wait meticulously. I think it's okay today. So it's okay today. I've got seed in the ground today. That's what it was for Sandra's mom and dad. Sandra lived that way. Of course, I never did live that way, but that's the way it was for her. But that might be the way it is for you too. Spring simply meant it's time to get the garden going. And that's the way it was with Jesus. I like finishing up this way, because when you go to the idea of spring cleaning, that we need to look at ourselves, get rid of the bad, rebuild the house, and realize once I get to that fact, I need to try to reach out to others with this glorious message. This is a message that's changed and transformed my life. And so I need to be sharing with others so that they can transform their life too. And that was the mission of the Son of God after he'd been teaching all day and they were concerned about Jesus. Somebody bring him something to eat. And the Son of God said in verse 35 of John 4, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may receive wages. Now, I tell you what, living with Sandra's mom and dad for 13 years in South Bend, Indiana, I was introduced to a lot of garden work. Oh, I just loved it. Not really. But I was introduced to a lot of it, especially the concept of cleaning out the barn. That never appealed to me at all. But I did those type of things. But you know, I did enjoy harvest. Man alive, the harvest that would come, go out there into the watermelon patch and break open a watermelon right there in that patch. Hardly anything better than that. Or a cantaloupe, same type of thing with that. You know, picking those strawberries fresh off the vine. I'm the type of person, I can go out to a garden and you got fresh green beans, I'll eat those things right off the vine. They're that good to me. I love them that way. I know that's weird, but that's me. You might be kind of weird like that too. But the harvest, reaping, because of the work that's done, that's exactly what's going to happen to us spiritually, brothers and sisters. You get to work on this. Get the trash, the spiritual trash out of your life. Clean up that area that needs to be cleaned. And start filling it in with the good stuff. And start telling people around us. We want you to hear the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is going to be expressed considerably this week, if it be the Lord's will. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at 7. And there's several flyers back out there on that table. Now, there's not a ton of them. Let's get rid of them all. Put them in the hands of family and friend and co-workers and neighbors and invite them. You know, I'm not asking for you to be a theologian. I'm just asking you to have the courage to walk up to someone you love and say, come and hear the gospel. I would love for you to come and see what we do and hear what we believe and enjoy the principles that come from scriptures. And I would be honored if you come with me. All of us can do that type of thing. So let's not be afraid to reach out and sow a little bit and maybe involve ourselves in reaping a little bit. And guess what's going to happen? Eternal life. Wonderful wages. Wages in paradise. Now, I have here the story of the great man, Paul the Apostle. He was a courageous man. And when he was preaching before Agrippa, Festus reached out and said, man, much learning has driven you mad. And Paul said, oh no, I'm speaking words of reason and truth. We have words of reason and truth here. And then he went on to talk to Agrippa about the type of things that the prophets were saying, that a Christ was coming. Agrippa, I know that you know these things. You're aware of these things, Agrippa. And most of the people around us, they're aware of Jesus. They've heard of him. They know what the Bible represents, the Word of God. And so these won't be foreign to your neighbors and friends and relatives either. And just encourage them to come in and learn what it means to become a Christian. I want you to become like I am, Paul said to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, I really don't know what the motivation was behind his statement that you almost persuade me to become a Christian. It could have been a little sarcastic. I think you're going to find that from people. Oh, you want me to become a member of the church? Christ might be a little sarcastic, but it might be someone that's honest. I really haven't never had anybody approach me about becoming a Christian. I really don't know anything about the Church of Christ. I think I'll come and investigate. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd be wonderful to your heart. But you know what? That would bring joy bells to heaven. That would, Jesus is up there. He's working for me. She's working for me. She's planting the seed. She's out there in the garden. Spring cleaning. That's what she's doing. That's what he's doing. That makes God happy. Isn't it time? We lost an hour of time. I made a little comment about that on Facebook this morning in my post. We lost an hour of time. Now, a lot of times you might realize that losing an hour of time is no big deal. We do that a lot of times just watching TV, right? Went and watched a three-hour basketball game or a football game. We didn't think we wasted it, but actually we just relaxed and didn't get really anything substantial done. We have a tendency of just relaxing sometimes and we might feel like we're wasting time. But in my little post on Facebook, I said, what if Jesus was to come this week? Suddenly, that hour of lost time would feel a lot bigger, wouldn't it? The things that we take so casually and for granted, maybe they won't be so casual and taken for granted when we really get down to look at it and that's your life. If there's all kinds of trash hidden from everybody else, but you know it's there, our Lord knows it's there, you've got this hour to make change. And this might be the only hour you have. You might have all your other hours removed, like we had one removed this morning. Don't leave this place without changing your life and doing the spring cleaning Jesus wants you to do. There's someone in the audience that's touched by this message. Make your life right with God. Let spring come into your life. Come to the front. Let's take care of your need as Chris will lead us together in this song.